What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Primetime on Football Friday, 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game. Played nowhere else on earth, it is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
That's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
Kick your butt out.
Hey, welcome back. Somebody texted the Vancouver Ford text line. I'm glad they did because I forgot about it. I wanted to mention it today. Mm-hmm. They said, politely hoping to hear a mention of the Beavers' win over the Zags last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, did you watch that?
I did. Well, I
that was fun.
I saw it, maybe about 6 minutes left. I was alerted.
Yeah. On your phone?
To the game. Yeah, I was scrolling through Twitter. Oh. We're trying to catch up on Severance. Getting ready for the new season. Mm-hmm. And then I was alerted on my phone, and we had to do the, hold on, pause, go back. And then so I got to see the last handful of minutes and then into overtime as, that's
awesome.
For the Beavs, outside of the run they had the Elite Eight a couple years ago, find me a bigger win than that for the Beavs.
I enjoy watching Gonzaga lose, first of all.
Yeah.
I just think it's fun. And for Gil Coliseum to be pumping like that,
yes,
that was really cool to see.
Absolutely.
And that team that Wayne Tinkle has there, they could play a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably a tournament team because they're playing in the West Coast Conference. They're gonna rack up some wins. So they should go to the tournament. They're fun. They can shoot a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that little guy, Miner, he's good.
Well, I mean...
No, he is not related to Harold Miner. Because I had to look that
up. Baby Jordan. Well, what's kind of cool is, I mean, the Beavs lost like their four best guys to the portal. And they've
guys are all like international. Yeah. They brought in a bunch of international transfers and stuff. Yeah. So the Tinkler.
First time in 34 years that the Zags came to Gil. Not so fast, my friend.
Yeah, they hadn't been there since 1991.
Yeah.
And went to overtime. If you didn't see it, they went to overtime. And the Beavers beat them 97-89 or something?
Yep. And they said it was the first sellout in... I want to say it was like 5-6 years, like almost 10,000, and it was a great freaking atmosphere.
Super
when,
cool.
When I turned it on, I saw the crowd pumping. I was like, hell yeah.
Love good college basketball.
Yeah, that was
game.
Awesome.
All right, so there's your mention. And thank you for politely asking that. But I did want to get that in today because that was really cool. And well, you know, I mean, look, college basketball, nobody's talking about it yet, but it's a good season so far. It's going to be fun. You guys are going to like... When we get to March,
you get to the tourney,
and we start, and you guys start watching a little bit more if you haven't been. It's very intriguing. A lot of really good teams, a lot of upperclassmen, you know, transfers. So these teams they're just better,
yeah,
now than they used to be.
Well, and that's what they're saying. They were showing early entries into college basketball and college football are at an all time low since we've had.
It's helping the sport.
It's helping the sport. We're getting better guys that are sticking around, and guys are sticking around that are marginal NBA prospects because you can make more in college. And then with the transfer portal, yeah, it sucks that you can get your team pilfered, but like with Oregon State, you can rebuild your team a lot faster than you used to be able to. So, yeah, it's good.
It's good.
It's good. It's good. It's good.
It's good. It's got some odds here. You like odds?
Yeah, what do we got?
I know you do.
What do we got? What do we got?
Sportsbetting.ag
mm-hmm.
has created a prop for A.J. Brown's next sideline book. This has to happen this postseason.
I would like to point out, while I love gambling, if you gamble on this, time to go to meetings. Call that number.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe there's value.
There's not.
The odds-on favorite at 7-1 is Love Hurts, Buddhist Advice for the Heartbroken.
What?
Yeah, that's number one.
How?
I'm not really sure why that's number
one. Why is he heartbroken?
Well, I think they're just doing bits here.
Okay. It's a joke because him and Hurts have been fighting all year.
Yeah, I think they're just being cheeky.
Oh, okay.
You don't seem amused.
Well, I don't know. It's just a weird...
Very serious.
Well, that was strange.
How about the Holy Bible?
Yeah.
8-1.
I could see that. Charlton Heston said, greatest book ever written.
Any Shakespeare, 9-1.
That may strike me as a Shakespeare guy, but all right.
And The Catcher in the Rye.
Oh.
9-1.
Yeah, the... Well, I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense because some people think that he's like a spoiled, you know, kind of brat, and that's the whole Catcher in the Rye thing. That might be the only one of those that actually makes sense.
Then we have...
I thought it would be like some sort of self-help book, like a Tony... Like, what's the best-selling, like the... Who is it? The nine Habits or whatever?
Seven Habits of Highly, Highly Successful Individuals.
Yeah, I would think it would be something like that because he's clearly into some sort of self-help meditation book.
War and Peace is on the list at 20-1. We have Inside the Philadelphia Eagles, 12-1. I guess that's a book. I don't know.
Okay.
Dallas Cowboys Suck, 16-1. That would be funny.
That would be a good book.
50 Shades of Grey.
I hope, and that's the thing, if A.J. Brown is clever, he should be doing bits and bring something ridiculous, like a Where's Waldo. Is Where's Waldo maybe a Calvin Hobbes?
Not on the list. We do have The Cheetah, Tyreek Hill, a book.
There's a book on Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, I think it's called The Cheetah. We have Football for Dummies.
That'd be kind of fun, too.
That's another good bit. Like, imagine him reading. Yeah. They pan to him on the sideline, and he's reading Football for Dummies. That's great.
Trying to figure out cover, too. Read this real quick.
What else is on here? Dune.
Never read Dune, but the movies, fantastic.
Moby Dick. The Great Gatsby. To Kill a Mockingbird.
So now we're just going through all the classics.
Yeah, they've got
Lord of the Flies is what he should read.
Lord of the Flies, 33-1, if you'd like to.
Piggy, that would be great.
Piggy has the conch.
And then also on here, will the college football playoff change its seeding format next season?
Oh. Yeah, I would say they probably will. The SEC will just bitch and moan until they get their way. The Big Ten, I could see them bitching and complaining too, except they're going to have a team that wins the whole thing. I could see them changing that. People did not enjoy the seeding as it was.
No. Well, the main thing is they just need to, and I think they're talking about this. Heather Dinich wrote an article about this, that they are meeting. I think they're meeting right now. They're in Atlanta, maybe? Yeah.
Well, that's
for the game.
Yeah, they left the Atlanta meetings, and that's when they got the Title IX bombshell dropped on them.
Oh, they're now gone from Atlanta? They're not staying for the game?
They left a meeting yesterday, and as they were leaving the meeting, they found out about the Title IX ruling by the judge. Like, it happened in real time. So I'm assuming that the meetings are going on all week. It's just that they were leaving a meeting yesterday when the Title IX thing got dropped on.
I got you. Yeah, and they're probably partying this weekend, and then they go to the game, and then they go
back everyone home. Disperses. Oh, all of college football will be there, and the coaches and the sideline reporters, and you know.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great.
Sort of debaucherous thing that goes on there.
And it's supposed to be cold there, too. It's cold everywhere.
Yeah. But, I mean, a couple weeks ago, it was like full-on snowstorm in Atlanta. Like, people that had never seen snow before down there were out playing around in it.
And then, anyway, Dinich said that the main thing they discussed was, like, it's pretty easy to just take the rankings and give the byes to the top four seeds in the rankings, not the top four conference champions.
Well, and I said this all along. There's no possible way you could make an argument that Boise State deserved a bye. That's ridiculous. And I liked Boise State. Boise State was a good team. I mean, they gave Oregon a run for their money. But, I mean, come on. You're telling me that Boise State and Arizona State were two of the four best teams in the country? Get out of here. But then that goes back to the whole subjective thing about college football, and then it's the Kurt Herbstreit thing, and why play the games? So there's no perfect way. Everyone's going to bitch and moan. It's just that I feel like any time it doesn't go your way one time, we have to overreact. I would actually like to see this maybe play out for a couple more years, but it won't. We'll have to have the knee-jerk reaction. And then if they overcorrect and it doesn't work, then we're going to have to yell and scream about, whoa, we overcorrected. Just let it play out.
Well, they kind of did, and it was not good.
Yeah, for 1 year.
Well,
one
but
year.
There's clearly very obvious flaws that could be fixed easily, And that's one of them. And so I, you know, they may not do anything until the contract's up, which is one more year of the same.
One more year.
And, but it's going to be the same thing next year.
Yeah.
So I the odds are close to 1.5 to 1. So it's very, in other words, it's not a long shot that they're going to change the rules for next year. Now they're really going to revamp the whole thing in 2 years.
2 years
when the new contract comes up, and they might even expand, and they'll get it. Hopefully they'll get it much better then. But it's really kind of amazing when you think about it how much they kind of goofed.
See, I disagree.
I mean, but they really did. They went to a 12-team tournament, and they got a lot of stuff wrong that really didn't seem that hard to. Okay.
But let me ask you this:
right,
because I understand that line of thinking, and I do. I can appreciate it. But for everyone that says that we got it wrong in the world of college football, then why did a 14-win Minnesota Viking team have to go on the road to play a 10-win Rams team?
Well, yeah, I mean,
why
again?
Why did a 7-win Seahawks team years ago host a playoff game, Beastquake, the New Orleans Saints? There are divisions, so this idea that everything's lined up and is fair in the world of professional sports. How many times do we watch the NBA and the two best teams are on the same side of the bracket? And that really should be the NBA championship, but it's not. So while I do appreciate that, yes, there things can be tweaked, but I just, the clats of the world and the Herb Streets that somehow come out and say that it's unfair that a team is unfairly rewarded for winning a conference or winning a division and no other people do it. I'm like, what are you talking about? Every sport does that. Every single sport seeds their playoffs by divisions or by conferences. It's not by who they think is the best team. So you can't have it both ways.
Well, I don't think that's at least not what I'm saying. Like, it's never going to be perfect, okay? And the word fair is not a word I would
use.
But
everyone's bitching because it's the Ohio State, right? Everyone's bitching that Ohio State, Oregon had to play Ohio State. Ohio State didn't play in their conference championship. Ohio State lost 2 games. The only reason anyone's upset is that because Ohio State got up off their ass and was like, oh, we're going to do this. And this is like when you get a team at the end of the year in the NFL, a wild card team that gets hot, and all of a sudden you're like, God, I don't want to play them. We see this all the time. But it happened in college football that a team, after Ohio State lost to Michigan, everyone thought they were done. And if that had been any other team than Ohio State, if that had been Indiana, right? If that had been Indiana that had lost those 2 games, no one would say that seeding was wonky. It just so happens that this year, a team that fell on their ass twice, once really bad against Michigan, ended up getting bumped back. So to me, this idea that you can simply say, oh, no, we think Ohio State's one of the 4 best teams, so they deserve a bye. Hogwash. There was no one after the Michigan game that was saying that Ohio State had this.
Here's how I feel about it. So it's never going to be perfect. There's nobody saying you have to. It's got to be 100% right every time. You're always going to get matchups that's like, wow, this is a really tough break or
it's a tough draw.
Yeah, you're always going to get that. So no one is saying that is the problem. That happens, but you can make it better, and you can make it more balanced more of the time with very simple rules, which is why I say it's an easy fix. And that's where it comes back to who gets the buys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very simple to just say, in hindsight, it really is stunning that they didn't see this, but I think they really wanted to hold on to the idea of conference champions
yes.
getting they were really worried about the regular season being hurt.
Yeah.
So they wanted to make incentives for conference champions to get the bye. That's cool, but that obviously doesn't change a team going for a conference championship, right?
Yeah.
Like they're trying to win a conference championship whether they get a bye or not. Okay. So it didn't really have an effect on the regular season. The tournament itself made the regular season better.
Yeah.
So there's really no point of giving the 4 highest ranked conference champions the buys. All you have to do is just give the top four teams in the rankings the buys. That is a very simple thing that we are seeing very clearly would have been way better. And again, that doesn't mean that you're going to get perfect or fair matchups. It's just going to make it more balanced. The four best teams get the bye instead of the four highest ranked conference champions. That's a very simple one. And that's why I say, you know, they totally whiffed on that. Of course, we didn't call it out until we saw it.
Yeah.
So to be fair, you know, we had to let it play out for us to go, ooh, that was weird and wrong.
It's funny how results of one thing can change.
Well, but it's not. That. See, the thing about that is that will be like the Big 12 and the ACC are always going to be, not always, but for the most part, mm-hmm. their champions are never really going to be in the top four compared to the SEC and the Big Ten. So it's going to, if you keep it this way and keep the four conference champions, the four, well, is it the four highest ranked conference champions?
Four highest ranked.
Yeah, so it's usually going to be the four from the power four.
Yes.
But, you know, Boise got one this year.
Yeah.
Because who didn't get one?
ACC. Clemson was 12.
Yeah, that's right. So what I'm saying is, it's just kind of, it is going to play out this way where the Big 12 champion, Kansas or Iowa State, is going to get a bye and shouldn't get a bye over a second place, like Ohio State, yeah. for example. So I think that you can see this coming. It will continue to play out this way, even though we needed a year to see it.
Again,
that's an easy fix. But as far as other fixes, I don't know.
I say it from the mountaintop. I understand that point. But this is all because of Ohio State, because Arizona State should have beat Texas. And had Arizona State beat Texas, that's a big FU saying that the Big 12 shouldn't have gotten a bye, because mighty Texas, who people loved, should have lost to Arizona State. And then what do we say?
Well, this Boise State is another one, too.
Boise State, I'll give
you. So it's not
all. And I said all along that there's no way, in my opinion, that a non-Power 4 team should have a bye. I said that at the beginning of it. I view Boise State much differently than I do the others. Boise State, if you're one of the group of five teams, or now I guess it's now group of six or whatever, you should always be the 12th seed, because your schedule, get out of here with it. The best thing Boise did all year was almost beat Oregon. Their schedule is not even comparable. But I just think this all boils down to freaking out because the number one team ended up with a bad draw and you had to play an Ohio State team that ended up whooping your ass. And now people are upset that the number one team got bounced and it just happened to be a bad draw. Much like, you know, someone Baltimore in Buffalo. We think that game should be further down the line, but it's not. It's this one. And so this idea of like a quote fair draw, you got to play who you play. And this idea that you get a primrose path or that you need to, eventually you would have had to play Ohio State. So I don't know. I find it to be a lot of sour grapes from SEC and honestly from Oregon fans that cry and moan because they had a tough game.
Yeah, for me, it doesn't come back to either of those things. It just is. It's just common sense. But they'll get it right. You know, give them a year.
Would it have been common sense had Arizona State beat Texas? Because,
well, again, I still don't think, I don't care if Arizona State beats Texas, I don't think they deserve to buy. I just don't. They weren't one of the top four teams in the country. It's just, it's a very basic thing, but I think it could make it more balanced.
So we're right back to the college football world where everyone hated before, where we used random eyeballs to say, no. The results played out on the field, but no, we think that's what everyone hated about the old system. And yet here we are after 1 year.
Well, the problem
Kurt Herbstreets of the world going right back to being like, well, let's just look at it. Because if that's the case, then just, again, make the automatic burst to the Big Ten and the SEC, because that's where the eyeballs are going to say those are the best teams.
I think the problem with that, especially comparing it to the NFL, is the NFL has much more parity, even though it's not, there some divisions are better than others, mm-hmm. way more so than conferences. The conferences are so imbalanced, and not only that, but the schedules are really imbalanced. Yeah. And so that really makes it hard to sit, because like Arizona State, even though the Big 12 is not as good as the SEC and the Big Ten, it's one thing if all of them play pretty comparable schedules.
That's true.
But you can go into the Big 12, like the weak division of the mm-hmm. NFL, and miss even the best teams in that league
Absolutely.
That year. And then you get into the tournament because you got a lucky schedule. I think Indiana's kind of one of these teams.
Yeah.
Although they didn't get a bye.
Yeah.
But had they, you know, they won one extra game, they get into the Big Ten title game.
I would like to point out the Indiana Hoosiers only lost two games all year to the two teams playing in the national championship. But again, our eyeballs can tell us, oh, Indiana's not very good, and Indiana's going to stand up there and be like, I won't tell you.
Well, but I just think
games all year.
Conferences are imbalanced to the point where you can really be more flawed and get rewarded than in any other, than in the NFL.
And we can also overvalue teams simply because they're from those conferences. And be careful doing it off of 1 year is all I'm saying.
So you get 1.5 to 1. College football will change its rules this year. And then you get, they're saying NFL wants to change its rules.
Yeah, there was some talk
what
about.
What are they talking about?
There was some talk about
there was talk about reseeding. There was like, talk about
the idea that Minnesota had to go on the road to play one. That.
There's talk about picking who you play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Picking who you play?
Oh. Yeah. Like the Lions could be like, hey, we want to play that.
But it was just the idea that a 14-win team had to go on the road and play. Same thing you're talking about is you win your division and the other team didn't. Therefore, that's the home seed. And we see this all the time in the NFL where a 10-win team hosts a 12 or a 13-win
team.
Well,
how would they, what would they do to change?
Just going off of record.
Barnwell had a good piece on ESPN about it.
What do you think of that? Just going off of record.
Again, I don't have a problem. I know we're up against it, but we can get into that for another time if you want.
Because I mean, it is, and they lost.
They lost. You
know, they're 14-team team. They go on the road, and they. Yep. But yeah, all right. Well, I didn't know they were so gung ho on maybe changing.
I don't
NFL.
Know if they are. There's just some discussion about it.
Always discussions.
Yep.
All right. Internet has taken down another Neanderthal fan. This one from the Eagles.
Oh yeah, this dude's gone. He got hammered.
Well, sort of.
Really? His life's kind of.
He lost his job.
Yeah, and banned.
Yeah, but there's a twist.
Oh, I didn't see the twist then.
That's next on the Fan.